Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. For those of you who are not familiar with us, and by some misfortune, you found this podcast, we are a group of people from New Jersey. When I say group, I mean me. And also, a couple of guys doing a couple of things. First, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Larper. Say hello, please.
Hello, please.
You know what? I hope a sniper's round misses a more important target and takes you out for fucking doing that. And also with us, our friend, your friend, Frank the Germ Freak. Frank, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man?
It's going pretty well. It's going well. For those of you who are with us on September 1st in beautiful Atlantic City, jewel of the East Coast that it is, thank you for coming out. Thank you for hanging with us and losing your money, gambling, and generally having a good goddamn time. Frank, you were not in attendance. You are living a very busy life at this point. It's really hectic for you these days, right?
It's probably the most hectic I've been in a very, very long time. But I in my job, it's feast or famine, so I got to take it while the getting's good.
Hay while the sun shines.
I'd rather be doing this than staring at the four walls. So
the four walls, yeah. Just looking at your dick get older and grayer. Wondering when that next check's going to come in. But no, you're hustling right now, making it happen.
I'm hustling. And, you know, I got three kids. I got to put to college and pay for weddings and stuff. So.
After all, you are the boss of your
own
operation.
Breadwinner. That's true. The breadwinner.
It says so on your door. Frank.
It does.
I'm curious because, you know, you weren't able to make the Heroes Talk thing. And I know that you're doing a lot more work. Because you're doing a lot more work, are you taking care of a lot more of the... like the chores that go along with your work? Like, are you having to go you're not going to like Staples? You're not going to like to buy more supplies or interact with people?
Oh, yeah. I just bought toner yesterday. $148 for fucking toner every month.
Ridiculous.
Every month?
Every month I go through fucking toner.
Oh, my God.
And then every 3 months I have to get a new drum.
Wow. That's a big expense. I mean,
The printer is, you know, I've had this printer for over 10 years, knock on wood. But yet it's the fucking toner that's just ridiculous.
There's a lot of people that say if you just go get a new printer every year, it's almost cheaper than replacing the ink.
It's true. I mean, they come with a free toner when you buy one.
Well, I gotta replace the ink every week, every month. I also.
Oh.
You print a ton of fucking paper.
I print a lot of stuff, and I use a laser printer myself. I don't.
Well,
use
yeah. I mean, you're not a pauper. You roll high class, or you don't roll at all. So right. It's fucking laser or bust.
But I need somewhere to put these fucking files because the files are just choking me. The whole fucking basement just filled with my boxes, and I don't know what to do anymore. I really don't.
I mean,
and that has to be paper.
I'm thinking about buying a shed to put my files in.
Shed.
That's the file shed. Actually, it would look pretty. You know, you might gain some neighborhood respect. Put up a shed. People think there's like a John Deere in it, some kind of tool like an edger.
I'm afraid that the mice will go in there and nest in the fucking boxes.
Yeah, and then you'll have to reference something you printed out 7 years ago and upset ten generations of mice.
Right.
Have you? Considered not printing everything, just saving stuff and printing as needed?
I do both. I back it up on something called Dropbox, which you made me familiar with.
I have.
And I also back it up on a an external hard drive, and I make a hard copy. So I have three backups. Before I met you, I didn't back up a goddamn thing.
I know. You were living on a goddamn...
I was living on C drive.
Yeah. That's why you had every computer you ever owned, too, in your crawl space. You basically walled off a section of your crawl space with computers. And there was a hidden, like, there was a guy in a jester's mask chained up against the wall behind it. And there were a lot of mice and things that you'd forgotten about. Because you thought that if you'd gotten rid of those, you would probably have lost some business. That, can you prune those fucking files? Can you, like discard them? I mean,
You have to keep them by law for 5 years, but I've so far I'm up to 15 years. So
why not follow the law?
Because you could, just because the law is 5 years, you could still be sued on something you did 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So you want to keep that on files for reference.
But
ridiculous.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you keep the hard copies for 5 years and then get rid of any hard copy older than 5 years? That way, if you do get sued, you can reproduce it. And that way you don't need to erect a shed in the backyard.
How do I reproduce it?
You just print...
it out again.
You print the digital copy that you backed up.
Right, but you also have to have the legwork and the research included in your work file.
Get a high-capacity scanner and save those as well.
Do I have time to sit there and scan things? Come on, I'm a very busy man.
What's more important? What do you value more? Let me ask you this. What do you value more? Physical space... or time? I think it's apparent.
I value time more.
Yeah. It's apparent that you value time more. Meanwhile, you're going to basically fill in your house's basement with paper, making it, reducing the square footage of the house, first of all.
Luke made the boxes into a chair for himself.
Your son's playing Minecraft with boxes of paper. He's playing, like, actual real-world Minecraft with just boxes. Constructing his own playpen, his own little bed.
Frank, have you ever had to pull out... What was the oldest thing you ever had to pull from your files that was necessary?
Somebody called me about a file a couple months ago regarding something I did in 2002. So that was...
So 10 years.
Wow. So did you just pull it out and wave it around your house and go, see? You see?
See, I told you. I kept it, yeah.
Better safe than sorry, okay?
How long did it take you to find it?
It took all day because after I used to put my stuff in order of, but now I just throw them all without any order, and it took me forever.
So here's the thing that you could have done if you didn't have to go for the hard copy and you scanned everything after 10 years or whatever, or you scan it right after you file it. Just you would just have to go and look through a hard drive.
And how am I going to have all that? If I'm going to start scanning everything and saving anything, I'll be going through 100 million computers. I won't have any computers. I'll be going through so many computers.
What's smaller, Frank? A shed or a computer?
Right, but what's more expensive, a computer?
Than a shed? And the fact that you're turning your house into a fucking rat's nest with all the paper you have around?
A fire hazard, too.
Yeah, a goddamn fire. Frank, I hate to tell you, all these hard copies are gone if you have a house fire. They're gone. The Dropbox shit, you can get.
And your house will be extra burnt because of all the kindling in the basement coming from the bottom.
Yeah. Kindling. You're turning your basement into a fucking tinderbox. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Frank, you are busier than ever. So, and you're going through paper like it's nobody's fucking business. And you're not replanting trees. So obviously you're going to Staples over and fucking over again. Is that the place that you have a gold card
Staples
member?
I have gold membership at Staples, but I got to be honest with you. I've done some comparison shopping, and Office Depot is a lot cheaper than Staples, but I'm just too fucking lazy to make it a new username and password in order to order from Office Depot as opposed to Staples.
Do you enjoy going to Staples? Because I mean, you do.
I hate it more than a. I say to my wife, "Could you stop at Staples for me?" And I have her pick the stuff up sometimes.
What are you getting from there?
This is my typical. I usually get five things. I get manila folders, legal size.
Jesus Christ.
Paper, of course. Toner. I also get fax toner. Fax cartridges, and sometimes I get a package of big paper paper
plates? You have it a picnic?
Paper. What are those things that you put the secure paper together? Paper file? Paper
fasteners? Paper clips?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you say you value time more than space, but what if you could just eliminate all your trips to Staples? And just eliminate that and the need to have to buy all that shit because you're not printing everything.
Well, sometimes I have a delivery. Because if you order $50 or more, they have free delivery.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should go to HearUsTalk.com/Amazon and buy some of these supplies, like the toners, the drums, the
paper. Don't have toner on HearUsTalk.com.
Oh, HearUsTalk.com/Amazon? When you go there and click...
Amazon's not an office superstore.
But it's a place where you can get anything. And anybody who happens to go through our link, we get a small kickback. See, you get something, and we get a little something.
So that's, nice in other words, I'm buying something and getting something in return.
Well, you're buying something and getting what you bought in return, and we're getting a small cut because you gave a little bit of your time to us. In any event, Frank, so you go there and you have to wait in those fucking lines all the time. I don't know why you don't just go. Buy it all online, have it delivered on a regular basis. Even if you think you need it or not, just keep buying it and have it shipped to you. Because, I mean, what's worse than waiting in those fucking lines at the registers with everybody who comes in just thinking they need a new calculator, some back-to-school
shit? Yeah, yesterday
shit.
I went on a couple days ago I had to go to Staples, and I never ever picked the right line, So I decided I had a 50-50 shot, so I picked a line.
What do you mean you don't pick the right line?
Well, I never picked the right line. I never picked the fastest line, and so I picked the wrong line. And then I saw people who were in back of me get rung out faster because they picked the right line, and I saw them smirking at me as they left.
Yeah, that sucks when it's like two people, but the one one in front of you is ordering a chair from the fucking back. Or they're asking if something's in the back.
The guy says he gets to me and then he goes on a speaker. I need change on register 4 or whatever. I'm like, why didn't you think of that before you need the change? You should have been proactive. Don't, you know, now I got to sit there while you get fucking change. If you saw yourself running out of change, you should have called up to be proactive.
The fact that someone needs change.
Were you ever a cashier?
I was. I did some cashier
Frank's
work.
Frank's Nursery and Crafts?
Frank's Nursery and Crafts and also McDonald's when I worked at McDonald's as a youth. So yeah, it's a nightmarish job. It's not a when fun I was, fucking job.
When I was a cashier, it was back in the I used to work at Shopper the Experience in Edison, New Jersey.
Experience? Which is not
even, it turned into Pathmark, and now it's just a fucking vacant building. But one of my duties, which I volunteered to do because I was bored with everything else, is I became a cashier. But as you noticed, I was a cashier at the time where I was my most phobic. Which was, 89, 90. And I used to wear latex surgical gloves when I was a cashier. Now, nowadays, it's quite common, especially toll collectors, to see people with, latex gloves on, ringing register. But back then, people were looking at me like, why does this guy have gloves on? What's wrong with him? And one guy actually said to me, are you wearing these gloves because you're afraid you're going to get AIDS?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Now you drive through the toll booth. Or actually, we drove through the toll booth because I don't have an easy pass for whatever reason. And you pointed out, he's wearing gloves. And I looked, and they had the yellowest, brownest fucking fingertips just from handling all that filthy fucking money left and right and goddamn center. So you're kind of vindicated there. You just take a look at any toll collector's
pioneer.
Fingers.
I was a pioneer in wearing latex gloves.
Yeah, definitely not the surgeons who they were made for. No, you at the ShopRite The Experience selling lobsters to people who needed to get where the fuck they're going. You made it happen, Frank. So, yeah, you're putting in a lot of work. You're very harried. You're surrounded by paper. I like how our buddy Clayton from Texas in the chat room said Steve is on fire tonight. And I guess that's better than Frank's room being on fire just from pure density of paper.
When he says he's on fire, what does that mean? Is that being sarcastic?
No, I think he's
enjoying, paying me a compliment.
Yeah, it's a nice compliment.
Thank you, Clayton.
How is he on fire? I haven't even heard him talk at all.
He was going with it. I think he mentioned that Frank, that you were kindling your fucking house, putting all the paper in the basement.
Yeah, I think that was the comment that got.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Let me.
You were missed, though, Frank. You were very missed at the.
You know what? I tell you what. If you guys get together in a more social thing where people aren't spread out everywhere, you know, maybe we could do something.
I appreciate that, and that kind of goes into some things that we'll get into before we talk about any of that. I would like to say and also bid a fond farewell to Michael Clark Duncan, a.k.a. the gigantic black man in Green Mile. You will be missed. I was shocked to find out that the guy died. And then I was reading articles where they had to point out at the end of the article, after they mentioned how he died and how old he was, almost like a dig. They mentioned, like, 3 years ago, he switched to an all-vegetarian lifestyle and had been quoted as saying, "I'm healthier now than I ever was eating meat." Like, why would you include that in an article that points out that the guy's fucking dead of a heart attack? It's almost like a fuck you for your lifestyle choice.
I mean, well, the author of the article is probably trying to vindicate their own lifestyle of eating, you know, steak every night and hamburgers.
Thinker?
And all, yeah.
That's an old reference. Wow. Sorry. Sobers
Throwback.
And Sean will get that.
Throwback.
Nobody else. Yeah, probably. The guy probably likes his grease fucking food and you know, doesn't want to feel bad about himself.
His girlfriend was, I don't know, people who watched The Apprentice, Omarosa.
Yeah, she won, didn't she?
She did not win, no.
Oh, no? She got to the end, near the end.
She's
no.
the only one that anybody knows. Let's put it that way. So she pretty much won.
She was on, the first one, episode.
Yeah, even
though she's also on All-Stars, too.
Exactly. She's an All-Star, and she didn't even win, right? So fuck that. I say she wins. But, yeah, you know, things happen, Frank. I don't know how you feel about it, but I enjoyed the Green Mile. I was stunned. You never saw
Talladega Nights. He was in Talladega Nights. He was great in that movie.
Did you happen to see Night at the Roxbury?
I always get him confused with
every other black guy.
No,
Terry
no.
Ving
Rhames.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's you know, for much of his career he was just the big black guy who was a bodyguard. Or would put a beating on somebody. And then for some reason they put him in Daredevil. I don't know why.
It was Kingpin.
Yeah. Well, what did the Kingpin look like in the comic? What did Kingpin look like in the comic?
He was a big, bald... He wasn't really black, though. He looked like he was a heavily, like, tanning-bedded Italian.
Okay, so maybe Italian. Maybe Puerto Rican. But definitely not unquestionably black.
I wouldn't say black, no. But yeah, Samuel L. He became Nick Fury.
Well,
so.
There was the Ultimate series of. I don't want to get too fucking nerdy here, but the Ultimate Universe Nick Fury was a black guy, actually modeled after, I think, Samuel L. Jackson. So that was a perfect
fit. Oh, really?
But Kingpin was a fucking white guy. Okay,
yeah.
I get it. Yeah, oh, he's big. Great. I don't know. I mean,
wasn't even big. He was this wide.
Part of the fucking appeal of comic books and comic book movies are that it's a fucking visual medium. You should at least like, for example, if they didn't give Batman the points on his cowl, someone would fucking complain. But it doesn't seem like anybody really gave a shit that fucking Kingpin was all of a sudden a black dude. Either that, or they were just afraid to say it. Anyway, rest in peace. Good night, sweet Prince Michael Clark Duncan. Heart attack in July and dies in September. Fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
Well, he was probably, you know, had a heart attack and he was in ill health for time.
He made it out of intensive care or the ICU.
I don't know.
He did. I'm saying that. And then after that, while he was in, you know, out of the ICU, he died. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Michael Clark Duncan, though he is missed. He will be missed. His awesome presence. I don't know. Fuck that. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to mention it. I just felt like I had to. I'm not breaking news. I just wanted to express some shock that
I refuse to when somebody has three names, I refuse to use all three names.
What do you call them?
My time is too precious.
Call him Mike D and just scare the shit out of Beastie Boys fans.
Michael Duncan or something. I'm not going to sit there and name the middle name. It's just it's too time consuming. You know, it's very, when somebody has uses three names, I think it's very pretentious. Would you not agree?
What would you call President Harrison?
President Harrison. Which Harrison?
Name
William
both of them.
Henry.
There's President William Harrison and Benjamin Harrison.
See, you're such a prick. In any event, see, I know you've said William Henry Harrison. You know what, Frank? I think you just make rules up sometimes. But to your credit, you do stick with them.
You know what I find very, this is a total, you know, 180. But
sure,
I find it offensive when people assume that you text. And let me give you a point, case in point. Say I call somebody and leave them a message on their voicemail.
Okay.
They'll respond to me via text. Okay. How dare you assume that I text?
But you do text.
That's irrelevant. They don't know that.
Oh, this is someone you've never texted?
I've never spoke to before in my life.
That's a little presumptuous.
It is, isn't it?
You know, texting is not the way to start things. You have to go voice first. In this day and age, you need to initiate voice first. And then after you say that, you can drop an "I'll text you later" just to eliminate future voice interactions. You have to do that.
And a lot of times they don't realize it, but I may be calling from a landline, so then they decide they're texting my landline, which never gets to me.
Good. You know what? I want more people to text my landline.
That would be great.
I'm the shittiest responder to Texas. Actually, literally, because I get texts from Texas. I'm a very bad responder to texts, and I have no excuse because my iPhone pops them up as soon as I receive them. I can see them, but I'm so lazy now that I don't even want to make the effort to slide the thing over and reply. I'm like, oh, that's a good insight, or that's something that's worth, you know, replying to. I'll get to that at another time, and I never do. I'll look at it, I'll read it as soon as it's sent, and then put it off. Whereas it could just take 2 seconds to send a fucking ha or a yeah. That's all.
See, I think I guilt trip with people with texts, because I always form my text at the very end. There has to be a question. Hmm. And leaving an unanswered question from a text, it always induces a response that has to, like,
you don't.
No?
You haven't
you
done that.
To that.
You haven't done that to me. Then why don't you ask Clayton about that? I'll discover that Clayton had asked me a question fucking 3 months ago, and then I'll send him an answer, and he'll have already figured out 17 different solutions to the question he asked. I am the worst fucking friend. I'm the worst everything.
Honestly, if you.
It's horrendous. I'll be like, I'll be on the bowl looking at my phone saying, oh, I have a few messages. Oh my God, I forgot to reply to that. And then I'll look at it and say, it'll be like a question like, hey, for the January 15th show, I was thinking of using something here. Do you have any suggestions? And I'm wiping August sweat off my balls. It's so deplorable and shameful. I should not be laughing at it. I should be ashamed. I should be just filled with shame that I let so many days go by before.
Honestly, to me, you always seem to reply pretty quick. But I mean, it's always like,
you don't send a lot of texts, Steve. And
no, it's, I don't send like random shit.
And
like,
also,
blah, blah, blah.
And here's this. Consider this. Sometimes I think a text requires more attention, so I put it off. I'm like, well, I'll have to think about that and give some good options, and then I fucking never do. With Steve, I can just go, why? I can even misspell yes. No. I can misspell yes and be done in a fraction of a second. But with Clayton wants to know some things. He wants to figure stuff out. And he's asked me questions on how to like produce some audio or how to like maybe enhance a sound effect or something like that. And it requires a little bit more attention. And I receive it, and I acknowledge it, and I'm like, okay, I got that. You know what? I'll get to him when I'm done with this thing I'm doing, or when I leave work, or when I'm at home. And then I just fucking totally, I just blow it, and I fucking forget. So, I mean, do you ever find yourself in that position, Frank? Or do you feel compelled?
I feel very compelled. I'm the kind of person who, when somebody sends me a text, If I can, I will answer it immediately. I despise people who take 3 fucking days to respond to a text. I hate it. Hmm. It bothers me. That's why I have a problem. Sometimes I'll be texting while I'm on 287 or something, and I feel as though it's unsafe to be doing so. So I will then pull over to the side.
It's still not safe being on the side, by the way. You know that,
it's
right?
It's safer than driving.
It certainly is safer than driving, but being on the fucking shoulder on 287...
It's scary, especially when it's tracked, 18-wheelers coming. They can fucking
then you
smack
your car.
That could be it, man.
Dude, your car shakes when the goddamn when a truck drives by.
And it sucks you into the truck.
Yes. It's fucking
I sometimes if I can, I will actually pull a little bit onto the grass as well to give myself a little bit of a buffer zone.
Yeah, the worst is when you have to pull over and it's just that fucking that slashy line shoulder, like you shouldn't be in it. But you have to piss. So
sometimes
you pull
I purposely go over the rumble strips.
Why? Just to give your ball bag a good shake?
Nah, just because I like the sound of it or something.
It really is terrible. It's terrible. Wow. I don't know. Maybe I need to. I don't know. I can't always answer the text immediately. So maybe what I'll do is I'll just respond immediately. With a 1 sec, and then fucking 7 hours later respond, because at least they know I saw it. I mean, maybe that's better, but I don't know. Does texting have to be the thing? Does it always have to be this immediate fucking thing? When will texting be an acceptable form of? I sent it to you. Deal with it when you can. Like email. Email never, used to be, oh never. My God, they sent me an email. It's instant. It's so much faster than letters. Let me get to it right away. Meanwhile, now it's you respond to your email whenever you get a fucking chance. Phone calls used to be, you know, well, if you're by the phone, you better answer. Well, now we have voicemail, and you can and nobody fucking even returns those unless they're fucking absolutely must call back. You think texts are always going to be the immediate fucking thing? There has to be that immediate technological leash to everybody you know. You think that it'll never be accepted as just a repository for would-be conversations? I mean, that's a question to either of you, Steve. I mean, do either of you have deep-seated feelings about texting's role in keeping in touch with people?
I think that's generational. I think the younger kids definitely feel like an impending doom if they don't reply to a text. But if you ever text like an aunt or uncle or a grandparent that might have text, or your mom or your dad.
Oh shit!
I don't think I've ever.
I think it's much slower, and however, when it comes to them texting you. Because you're younger, they expect a faster response. They're like, oh, well, you're younger, you should be replying to my
text. I sent a text to my dad, and I said, hey, did you see that text? He's like, oh, I get the, I can text. And I said, yeah, you can text on your cell. And he looked at it. He's like, oh, my God, where do I check? Where did I check? He had 350 text messages unread.
Do you remember the first text you ever made, or the first text you ever received, or who it was?
No, I don't remember it. I honestly don't. Do you, Frank? Did you document it?
I do remember it, yes.
Do you have these, like, J. Edgar Hoover-esque files of things that people have said to you?
No, because what happened is somebody sent me a text, and I didn't know what the fuck it was. I was like, what is this? And this is when I had a phone that where you had to press, the button, 5 times in order to get an A, or then, another 5 times in order to get a B, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was it?
It was work related. It was just work related.
It just blew your mind that words
came
up.
It blew my mind.
Phone.
I didn't even know this was even. I didn't even know that this was even possible.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. Clayton is saying that a response would be nice because it's not like he lives down the street. You might be dead, and we would never know. Well, I appreciate that. No one else has ever expressed that. As a reason why I should respond to their texts, just to know that I'm alive. It's that I'm inconsiderate. I don't get back to them soon enough. No, he just wants to know that I'm alive. I appreciate that. And now you know what? Higher priority to Clayton's texts. Frank, you've just been reduced. Mm-hmm. You've just gotten a reduction for all your texts. Speaking of good times and communication and hanging out, it should be fifth, but we missed a year. Hear Us Talk Labor Day Bash went down this weekend in Atlantic City, jewel of the East Coast, as I had said before. Frank didn't make it. He was busy working. But Steve, you managed to show up.
Yep.
And you know what? I thank you for that.
It was fun. I had a good time.
It was great. By the way, what happened was we convinced Clayton to take the trip up. We said that there's going to be a comedy show. There'll be some drinking, some gambling. We'll be hanging out. And Clayton flew from Texas to Philadelphia. And I think a total of 12 hours of travel somehow. After only a three-hour flight, he arrived in Atlantic City. And I was just watching his Twitter feed just light up with new discoveries of things that are exclusive to New Jersey. Like, he reviewed his very first taste of home fries. He asked if bro was a common thing because he saw a lot of people wearing Come At Me Bro t-shirts. He got to try Italian water ice.
Water ice?
Yeah, which is just bullshit. It's fucking Italian ice, okay? Philly, just shut up with your water ice. Water ice. We mentioned that actually to Sean, and he pointed out that water ice should be like a Slurpee, and I agree. Something water. It's the you scrape it to fucking eat it. How the fuck is it water ice? It's a goddamn. You shave it off.
It's either water or ice. I mean, they're the same thing in different states.
Exactly. Well, Philadelphia doesn't really understand states of matter. They just understand shoveling grease into the throats and naming things and pronouncing things weird. So, needless to say, Atlantic City on Labor Day weekend, not exactly the cheapest place to stay. I don't know if this was a deterrent for you, Frank, if you were truly just
no.
Your busyness.
I'm sure, where'd you stay at the – which casino did you stay at? The Borgata or the Taj Mahal? Where'd you stay?
Steve stayed at the Borgata.
I'm sure you probably stayed some. Where'd you stay? Which one?
Best in Show Brian stayed at the Taj, and that was where the Louis C.K. show was.
Right. So which one did you stay at?
I stayed a street, nearby. I was nearby.
Yeah, right. Which hotel? Which hotel?
I was right near the boardwalk there.
Yeah, I know, but which hotel did you stay at?
Atlantic City. Right near the...
Yeah, I know, but which...
It wasn't technically a hotel.
No, it was. It was, more of a lodge.
I'm not sure.
It was a B&B. It was something of a lodge. Let's put it this way.
Like a log cabin?
For example, a room at the Taj was like $500 a night.
Okay.
You're getting about $550 for the Borgata. You know, we're talking very, very expensive, night stay for a weekend. So
unless
you
have degenerative relatives.
I wanted to find a place a little bit cheaper. We went to Hotwire, some travel site, and we moved our normal selection of 4-star down to 2, and we ended up at the fabulous Atlantic City Econo Lodge, on a street corner
it was literally in Atlantic City itself.
Yeah,
you know what kind of brothel that must have been?
Brothel.
What do you mean? What do you mean brothel? Like the turnover?
You know that was a probably kind of a place where people just go to have sex or whatever. I mean,
first of all,
it was an Econo Lodge in Atlantic City.
You got it all wrong.
It was a rape hotel.
You got it all wrong. It had 2 stories. Okay,
was it on Pacific Avenue?
It was on Pacific Avenue, but you got it all wrong. There's free Wi-Fi. It had free Wi-Fi, and they had continental breakfast.
But they're also advertising hourly rates. Come on.
We didn't pay an hourly rate. We paid paid per night. Maybe
listen to me. You let me just let me just point this out, people. DJ New Style and his girlfriend, they make very, very, very good livings. They have no children. They've got the world by its balls. They're living the life of Riley, and you're staying at a fucking Econo Lodge? Come on. Come on.
Pennywise, pound foolish, Frank. You don't want to be that. You know, just because I might be able to afford a $500 a night room doesn't mean that I should drop fucking $500 a night.
I do think it's absurd to spend $500 just to sleep somewhere.
Exactly. So I spent $250.
Even that's fucking
that
out of
much.
It was $250 to stay at the goddamn fucking Econo Lodge. And not only that, we weren't even on the second floor. We were on the ground fucking floor. And this is the type of establishment, Frank. I don't know if you're familiar with these hotels, motels, whatever they are, the lodges.
Holiday Inn.
The door that you use to – you put the little slasher in and walk into your room, that's exposed to the street. When I say exposed to the street, it's $10 away from – or 10 feet away from the fucking road.
So well, crackheads don't even have to go up a flight of stairs to get to your room.
No.
Well,
so,
I hope you got your windows locked securely.
Well, we certainly – there's no way to lock the window in the front. It's a nice single pane of glass about 4 by 8 feet that has
You could probably just knock that out with your fucking elbow,
You could throw a tennis ball at it and accidentally break it. Pretty much. That is not plate glass. It's just a single fucking –
Did you feel unsafe, honestly?
It's like a piece of glass they put over a conference table. Something like that. I felt hugely unsafe.
Especially being on the ground floor where somebody could just fucking walk right in and just bang the... Ugh, that's fucking freaky.
Well, so we walked in and just kind of set our shit down and looked. And it looked all right. It just looked really old. Until I went to the bathroom. And the bathroom dated, sure, whatever. But the thing that really concerned me... is that the one window they had was a tall window that was about shoulder height, and it was louvered glass. You know that louvered glass where it's like...
Yeah, jealousy windows.
Yeah, you shut it, and it's like shutters almost, but it's made of glass. And there's a thin screen, like a regular screen door screen in front of that. And one of the fucking glass slats is completely gone. So I'm standing in there and I'm looking and my face, my eyes are perfectly aligned with the broken piece. Basically, someone could either cut or let's just say put their fist through the fucking screen and reach into the bathroom. So it looks out into the parking lot. And it just felt very fucking bad. It felt like this would be the bathroom I would hide out in as my eventual killer busts through the thin fucking glass in the front, rifles through my possessions, hears me yelping in the shower, and fucking just sprays my innards all over the bathroom and leaves unsatisfied because I had nothing to begin with. Because I'm staying at a fucking...
Where did Clayton stay at?
Clayton stayed in a hotel on Friday night, but I think he crashed with Best in Show Brian and Veal Chop.
Yeah.
So he had a pretty good spot. The noises that we heard when we were trying to sleep in this place were a lot like that scene at St. James Place in the movie Big, where you just hear like Spaniards yelling and arguing. And just knocking and fucking cars driving by and horns being beeped.
So when that happened, did you get into the fetal position and start crying?
No, because I couldn't figure out if I should use the covers. I didn't bring stuff to sleep in. So I had my jeans and I had a button-down shirt. I used my button-down shirt to wrap the pillow to try and protect my hair from lice.
Let me digress. You're not somebody who cares about that kind of stuff, though. Are you saying that the,
I've
you
said,
didn't have
I've said, I've said, if I can't see it, I don't care. When we pulled the sheet back, we saw long, curly hairs all over the fucking bed.
Oh my God!
All over. I managed to remove them,
What?
With like my old socks, I just kind of like.
Why did you go to the front desk and say, you know what, this is not acceptable?
Yeah, okay.
For $250 a night, come on, dude.
Frank, you want to trade fucking long curlies for fucking shit stains on the goddamn soap?
You know what?
Teeth marks in the fucking walls.
Where'd you I would have slept in my fucking car. Were you in a parking garage?
You know what? Sleeping in your car is fucking worse than you putting up with goddamn insect infestation. No, we were in just an open parking lot.
If you were in a parking garage, if I was in a parking garage, I would have literally stepped in my car. Would you have stepped in your car if you were in a parking garage?
No, I would not have slept. I would not have slept in my fucking car in Atlantic City.
And if you're in a parking garage?
No, I wouldn't have done it at all, Frank.
That's disgusting. I just lost respect for you that you sleep in something like that.
So respect is won and lost by how you handle a shitty hotel room. Interesting. I'll have you know, though. I did get the, you know, Shawnee Murphy was with us, and he took the queen. He took one of the queen size beds. I made sure he took the one closest to the door, so just in case I heard a disturbance, anybody comes in slashing or firing rounds, good chance it's going through him first.
So you slept in your clothes,
and I could hop out of the louver. Yeah, I did. I slept in my fucking jeans.
But you take your shoes off.
Yeah, I had to.
Did you go under the covers?
I did.
Did you feel like a little – when you got home –
Here's the thing. You sleep in the bed. The best bet you have in a hotel, the best bet you have is to use the sheets because the comforter is never going to be washed. They never fucking take those in. They should wash the sheets. If anything's going to be washed, it's likely to be the sheets than the comforter. So I wasn't going to just fucking lay on the – you know, the fucking the jizz runway that is the comforter. You know, someone just, they're going to go in there and just try to bust in the door and fuck. They're not going to undo the bed and turn down the fucking sheets. They're going to just bust all over the floral print, cigarette burn goddamn comforter. So, yeah, it was frightening. It was frightening. I think it might be interesting to go maybe on a weekday. Because it's probably $20 on a normal everyday weekday.
It is. Yeah, it's super cheap.
Rent four rooms and just take a blacklight in and make a YouTube video just to show people.
You know what I like to do? I like to do that, but at a really expensive hotel like the Plaza. Go there with a black light and
see room raiders.
Like
Room Raiders AC edition.
Oh yeah, just pick through. And just like the remote control. Shawnee Murphy had no reservations picking up the remote. I was fucking scared of that. You can't touch the remote in a fucking hotel. I wouldn't do it in a 4-star hotel. I sure as hell wouldn't do it in one where there were fucking curly hairs embedded in the sheets. No fucking way. But it did. You know what? It did have its advantages. It had the continental breakfast in the office, the main office where you.
So you got the. Have breakfast with other people who were staying there for the night?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Anybody else?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. I mean, who else would... It's for the people who were staying there. It's for the customers. I don't understand what your point is.
It was something of an unpoliced continental breakfast.
Could you please explain that?
Well... The breakfast was set up on a counter in the office where you check in, and there were
for the people who go there. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the office is on a street corner, Pacific Ave and whatever, and it has two entrances, and people are going in and out of that place left and right, and some people take food and leave, and one lady was there who looked a little like fucking Lil Wayne. Went there, and here's the setup they have. First of all, they have a coffee machine, like an automated coffee machine. They have bagels, fruit, cream cheese, a toaster, waffle batter, and a waffle iron, and the various fixins for each. So they have a
chef making waffles?
The person who wants a waffle can get batter from the waffle dispenser. And pour it into the waffle iron and make their own fucking waffle. I have a really itchy nose right now. I'm sorry.
Inside or the outside?
It's the inside. It's like killing me. So anyway, the move is you get your plate, you peruse the line, you get your shit, and you go to a table and eat. Okay? I had already gotten my stuff. Amanda was making me or was going to make me a waffle, which was nice. And some lady who looked like Lil Wayne, really skinny, curly hair and very very tired but energetic looking at the same time. It was a rare look of exhaustion and unbridled energy.
Enthusiasm.
Walked in and went to the counter, and I heard, "I've never been up this early. I ain't gonna be up early." There's like definite pauses in her talk. She's grumbling. She saw Amanda making a waffle. "You fixing your husband a waffle? That's so sweet. Waffle, waffle, and the syrup and bagels and all this. I ain't gonna go to bed." And just like just grumbling, like it was so fucking incoherent. And if you can, I don't know if you remember, if you know what Lil Wayne sounds like, but he sounds like this.
I don't want no music.
Yeah,
you
like this.
You gotta hear what I'm saying.
Waffle.
All those other things. It's just
syrup and butter.
You know what I mean? Distractions. What to say to you?
They say, "Hey, I'm a waffle. It's so sweet."
I'm
on
lady.
Yeah. Bagel toaster.
Ladies.
Yeah, it was frightening. But the thing is, get your breakfast. Fine. That's fine. I had no problem with it. But she decided, what she was doing was getting her breakfast and eating it at the counter in the middle of the assembly line for the continental breakfast. And also, she put her little bag, her little purse on the counter and was just pulling shit out of it and leaving it on the counter and going through all her belongings, like little baggies and little fucking bottles and little used tissue packets. And
so she was probably not a customer of the thing then.
I don't think she was, Frank. Oh, but she was like making a waffle for herself, kind of like she fucked up a waffle. She was handling the fruit.
I'm surprised. Typically, you take, you know, you'll snap a snapshot of your scenario.                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                            s.
I didn't want to risk her pulling like some kind of something sharp. Like, you know when the cops pat somebody down
on the
lawn, do you have anything sharp that might prick me? Like, she definitely did, and I didn't want her to be offended by me photographing her. So I just played it cool and didn't look at her. Just ate my waffle in fucking sheer horror. And Sean got there a little late, and he went to go grab a bagel. Didn't even realize what was going on. Went to take his bagel and put it in the toaster, and she boxed him out from the fucking toaster. She threw her ass out like, "Argh! Goddamn toaster." Says just grumbling like this.
Was it clean,
this
though?
This is her.
I don't want no music. You got to hear what I'm saying.
Like that, and just throws her ass back out. And he couldn't get to the fucking toaster. And he's like, "Well, I guess I am not toasting this. I will eat this. And this is all I will have. This is it. $250 a fucking night." And not only that, they had the gall to offer me the opportunity to rate my stay. "Give us a review of your stay at the Econo Lodge." I haven't fucking coined the terms yet. The words have not been coined that I need to use when fucking describing my stay. Horror will be one of the root words. Disgust will be another root word. I want to create a hybrid word of horror and disgust so I can properly review my stay. So
this
bad.
Horror.
And by the way, when I woke up, which was early as fuck, I went to bed at 4:30 in the morning. I woke up at 6. I could not sleep. So I went. It was a sun was coming up. By the time I go into the bathroom, playing Bejeweled a little bit, go to the bathroom. And, you know, I'm there taking a piss. And, you know, you kind of look around a little bit. Oh, my God, look at that grout. What the fuck? Who the fuck would accept that? And then my head turns to the left towards the window that's broken. And my eyes lock with a black gentleman with yellow eyes just sitting on a bike, faced at the window, just staring at me. He's in the parking lot behind the fucking place, just staring through the window with his yellow goddamn eyes, not saying anything. I just look away and fucking put everything in front of the goddamn bathroom door after I'm done. And, proceeded to just to get ready to break a chair leg off and fucking stab somebody. It was hideous. Absolutely hideous. Steve the Leper, you're suggesting Disgarer as the term I should use. I think if I use that term, I'll have to give the definition in the review of the place. Yeah, so Steve, I'm assuming because it was so expensive, you probably had a similar situation, your accommodations as well, right?
Yeah, my situation was I got there, I had a beautiful hotel room.
What do you mean?
I was at the Borgata.
Yeah, exactly.
My aunt had played, and she knows a couple of the people that are she knows the vice president of player development at the Borgata, and she knows a couple people that are connected within Atlantic City. So apparently she's a degenerate by Shawnee Murphy's standards.
Probably.
Along with my grandmother, because...
I quote Shawnee Murphy. Steve's grandmother's a degenerate. No stutter. No stutter. He said it outright. Your mother, your grandmother is a degenerate.
My long dead grandmother, God rest her soul, she's a degenerate because she was a high roller in Atlantic City, and we used to go.
This was to be fair, this was after you said that she used to play $75 slots.
Well, it's $25 slots, but she played the max, which was okay. Fine.
So she spent bet fucking 75 bucks a pull on a slot machine.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree. Your grandmother was a degenerate. I'm sorry. You know, like she just tried it out of curiosity. This is something she did, correct?
Yeah, she went to the fucking the high rollers. It was the smoking room. First of all, the smoking Holy room shit. Had the highest slots you could possibly find. But you know what? She won. I think my grandmother won after everything. She was a winner.
Still, I mean, if you hit once on a fucking $25 slot machine that you're putting 3 credits into.
Yeah.
You know, the smallest win seems big. You know, it's pretty fucking...
You know what? She actually won a slot tournament in Atlantic City at Bally's.
That's something I'm obsessed with now. Before the year is over, I will play in a slot tournament just to see the caliber of person that plays in a slot tournament.
And I actually remember when she won that. The second place winner was this lady named Carol. I don't want to say her last name.
Oh, good. Because, you know, we all know her.
Yeah. All right. So Carol Terwilliger, she was this lady, and we actually knew her because going in and out of the like the high roller suite area of Bally's, like she would be always on, you know, on the elevator and whatnot, and she just had this like the smirk of the lady that just got onto the line. It was the faster line.
Jesus.
And she lost. And when there was the slot tournament, like there was 3 rounds, like you play a round and then it would go like, you know, do a full round and then the second round, full round. My grandma won on like the first 2 rounds. And me and my cousin, like we were kids, we were young. I'd say I was probably like 8, my cousin was 10. And we were doing the math and we were like figuring out what she needed to win for the 3rd round. We're like, if you pull once and you win like $100, that's it. Just stop. Because that's what you could do. You could play once, and that's it. If you won on the first pull, then you're in the lead. She won $75,000 in a slot tournament.
Nice.
And actually, she helped me pay off my first car.
Very good.
And I'll always remember that because she said, you know, you help me out, I'll help you out. You knew what the numbers were, and she helped me pay off my first car.
It's a very sweet story.
It is.
Of you and your degenerate grandmother.
She was such a degenerate, as Shawnee Murphy would say.
Yes.
But, you know...
Like, do you take offense when he says that? I mean, I think you should, but do you?
No, I don't because I know what he means.
Yeah.
I mean, any other person had said that to me, I'd fucking just punch them. I'd haul off and just punch them right in the mouth, but...
But he has a way about him that lets him get away with calling people's beloved relatives degenerates.
That's, I think, his Irish heritage. I think that's just coming through plain and clear.
All right. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll continue with the rest of the Heroes Talk Labor Day Bash. Frank, did you have something you wanted to?
Yeah, you know, if you know, I'm sorry, but if you don't mind, I'm probably gonna be able to head out.
Oh, okay. Well, Frank,
sorry about that.
No, it's all right.
It's all right. We understand you're a busy man. You have a basement,
but it's
too.
Been a pleasure.
There are a few empty cubic feet in your basement that need to be filled with paper, and I wish you well, and we'll talk to you in a week. You want to say anything to the people?
Okay. Right.
Thank you. All right, here we go. We'll be right back. It's the DJ News.
Okay, listen. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my microphone cut out. Yeah, good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Frank, we'll see you next week. We're going to continue after this break. Be right back.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Hi, this is DJ Newstyle, host of the DJ Newstyle Show, and I'd like to thank you for listening to HearUsTalk.com. We truly love what we do, and we're so appreciative of your support. We think it's incredible that you've dedicated part of your day to something that we've made, and we can't thank you enough. And I think it would be great if you decided to commemorate this occasion, this awesome thing you've done for us, by buying yourself something awesome. Go to HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Click the link to Amazon and buy whatever it is you've been after. Have you had your eye on a new iPad? A new TV? Did you want a couch? Do they sell solar panels? I don't know. Do you have a house and you want to save a little bit of energy? I don't know. They might not even have them. But something great. HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. They have pretty much everything there except firearms. They do have firearm accessories, though. So if you're a gun nut and you live in the Midwest and you like to put lead in squirrels, pick the lead out and then eat it later, you could probably do part of that through HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Thank you again for your support. HearUsTalk.com. Thanks you.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hi, this is DJ Newstyle, host of the DJ Newstyle Show, reminding you that HearUsTalk.com belongs to Texas every Wednesday night, as Clayton brings you a brand new installment every week of Bug Zapper Radio, the only podcast that should be awarded its own concealed firearms license. Celebrate triumphs, analyze setbacks, take a look at the issues from both sides of your brain. Bug Zapper Radio, live, HearUsTalk.com, Wednesday nights, 10:30 Eastern. Thank you.
Lucky you, you're listening to the DJ Newstyle Show, dick.
Okay, I can't redo that, so I apologize. I didn't mean to just have a sweet release to the microphone. A fucking eye-rolling release. HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Buy stuff. Be selfish. Be generous. But just buy stuff through there. And also, Bug Zapper Radio, Wednesday nights, live on Heroes Talk. And you know what? You don't listen already? First of all, fuck you.
Why not?
Second of all, download the old episodes. Go to HearUsTalk.com. Click on the Bug Zapper. You know, I don't even have to say click on the Bug Zapper Radio logo. It's so goddamn evident. You just need to click on a fucking Bug Zapper and hit listen.
And it's good.
It's goddamn amazing. Now, keep in mind, I did make this promo, forgetting that Clayton said there wouldn't be a show this week. So,
next week, Wednesday.
What an asshole. Anyway, every other Wednesday, they're live. You know what you're going to do tomorrow night? It's Wednesday, tomorrow night. You know what you're going to do? You're going to download every episode of Bug Zapper Radio, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to listen to it, and you're going to goddamn learn something and have a new appreciation for a different point of view. I know a lot of people that listen to my show, the other shows in this network, they're from the Northeast. Life,
you know what,
is a little goddamn different where Clayton is from.
I wouldn't say my point of view personally differs much from Clayton's. I think
I meant more of like a not necessarily like a political point of view or a spiritual or anything like that. I mean a physical point of view.
Well, yeah, okay.
Clayton has not had home fries. He didn't know that come at me, bro, is a thing. You know, I mean, he's exposed to different things than we are. And we are exposed to different things than
that's
he
true.
Certainly is.
Very true.
So
very
it goes
true.
Both ways. You're going to get a different perspective. And you know what? Even if you're from Texas or you share the same perspective, you're going to get a different man's take on it. So, God damn it, why aren't you listening already? Turn this shit off and listen to his show.
No, don't do that. Don't do that right now.
Nah, turn it off.
Do it later.
Honestly,
it
just later. Hit fucking stop. Don't even hit pause. Hit stop. Hit the fucking trash can icon and then throw your phone in the goddamn sea. Buy a new phone and make sure it doesn't get tainted with any of our episodes. In any event, hear us talk the Labor Day party. It went down. Clayton showed up.
It was good.
And it was a definite fun time, Steve. I was happy to see you. We started it off at a place that we've been to before as a network. We went to a damn good sports bar the last time we had the Atlantic City night. And it's a good starting point, I thought. We were having first of all, the event was planned. Actually, let me just erase that and say the event was not really planned. I discovered the Veal Chop bought tickets to Louis C.K. And I said, you know what? Perfect thing. We have no Labor Day event planned. Let's center it around that, and then we'll have something.
And, oh, so that's what it was.
And it kind of built up from there. I mean, let's meet up, let's drink and gamble, see a comedy show, and do all that. So, I mean, it is what it pretty much was intended to be. But I think we need to do something a little different for next year. But we started off at a damn good sports bar where they serve 40-ounce bottles of domestic beer. And I don't get a chance to do that too often. So I decided to have a 40-ounce of the champagne of beers, Miller High Life. And when I was done with that one, I decided to have a second 40-ounce of Miller High Life. And I noticed that Steve, unoriginal person that he is, decided to do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Are you typically a High Life guy? I didn't really know that.
What I'm drinking right now is Miller High Life. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was the one that pointed out to you, I believe, when you said, oh, it doesn't say the champagne of beers. And we had to get 3/4 of the way through our first 40s.
Yeah.
For me to notice that if you look through the back of the bottle.
Yes.
Onto the back of the label, it did say the champagne of beers.
And we did look through the liquid, and it was decoded. It was like scrambled until the liquid was gone. It's like a time release reminder that you're not drinking shit. Some people regard this to be the only champagne that they can acquire. The normal bottles, like the 12-ounce bottles, and even I think the 32, it says it right on the fucking logo.
Yeah, the 32s definitely say
this
it right
had
on
some
here.
Weird
established
fucking,
1903.
Yeah, this had some logo I've never seen before. It might be just really old piss water. I don't know. But yeah, sure enough, 3/4 of the way down, we saw the back of the label, champagne of beers. My hope and my prayers were restored. The idea was to go to this place because it seems like every bar now that they're trying to take more of the Vegas vibe and bring it into the resorts of Atlantic City. They want to make it into like a dare I say swanky. I hope someone fucking trips me and cuts my neck for saying that. They want to make it more club like, booming music and shit. And where the show was at the Taj Mahal, there weren't any like just fucking bars to sit at. That didn't have some fucking Teo Cruz song just shaking your bones.
The one right outside the arena where Louis C.K. played, there was like a it was like a table game / bar / club /
yeah, it was everything rolled into one.
Yeah,
like so that it's almost like what people do to get a blog post viewed. They put like a tag for everything that you could ever be interested in. Like, let's put a tag on there, pool table, DJ, club, dance, whores, tits, disease-free, clean, drink, beer, mojito, Patron. Like, they fucking just build this place as the answer to all your drinking fucking hopes and dreams. And it just wasn't good. Everything was so fucking douchey there. And the only place I could come up with, because out of my limited experience, was this sports bar place. And it was at the Tropicana, which was a bit of a ride.
I gotta say, the Tropicana was very nice. You know what? Even though we all agree,
I do like the red corner that they have. They have a Russian vodka bar next to a fucking Cuban restaurant next to a fucking PF Chang's. They have three communist-themed restaurants surrounded by slot machines and fat Americans. I fucking loved it. I love it. And yeah, I didn't think it was bad. I think I like the Tropicana better than the Taj Mahal, but
I do too. I was gonna say, even though it's overdone, like the roof with the sky and clouds, you know, painted onto the roof.
Yeah, which is at every place at this point.
It's at every place, but I think Tropicana pulls it off pretty well.
Yeah,
if I was to go back to Atlantic City and, you know, pay out of my own pocket, as opposed to my degenerate aunt's pocket. I would want to go to the Tropicana.
I think that's a good choice.
I definitely did like it.
Yeah, and we stayed there once when I went there with Jimmy Rhodes and Sobers. We got there by accident because I think we originally booked at Caesars and they fucked up our reservation. They had no rooms for us, so we called Tropicana and went over there and ended up being a really good time. All I know. The Borgata could be great. I remember limited things.
The Borgata was not as nice.
Yeah. I mean, Clayton, for example, first time in Atlantic City, he has officially declared he is never returning. He will never go. Now, it's not because the buildings aren't fun. It's not because it's not pretty or well-designed. It's probably because it's nothing but gambling and shitty fucking food along wooden planks, surrounded by crime and ocean. Unmanable ocean and fucking unsafe streets as far as the eye can see. There's nothing that'll ever bring him back there. And I don't know that we're going to ever do another Heroes Talk Atlantic City night. I don't know that we would.
I was talking to Clayton.
It certainly was fun. But there was kind of people had issues with it, and they're valid issues.
Yeah, like I was talking to Clayton, like right after the show, like we got out of Louis C.K. and you know we were basically standing around for almost 45 minutes to an hour, and we're trying to figure out what was going on, what we're gonna do next. Like, are we gonna go to another bar? Are we gonna drink more? Are we gonna go gamble? And there really was no social option. You know, it was like, you know, either go gamble or go home.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we all could have gone and eaten food, but we were all on different schedules and different completions of our day.
Yeah.
Like, some of us have eaten, some of us didn't. Some of us had gambled a little bit, some of us didn't do any, we're itching to, me and Sean. Some of us wanted to go drink. Some of us have had enough fucking drinks. So like we weren't really. It was tough to synchronize. And when you're in a place and you're in a situation where you can't really synchronize, and the only thing to do is to just be separate, and you're in fucking Atlantic City, and the only thing you can do while you're separate is gamble alone. It's not really conducive to a social event. Like even just standing around and talking, there's some apprehension involved because it's almost like you're waiting for something. You're relaxing, you're on your fucking feet. When you're not gambling, you know that's the time to be social. But it's tough to coordinate everybody. So especially in that environment, there are ways to do it, and I have some ideas that I'm going to present in a text that Clayton should never respond to. By the way, I've treated his texts. I'm gonna text him and I'm gonna give him some ideas because he shared the same sentiment with me too. He said it's just not a social experience. It's not conducive to being social in a casino. And it's also a very fucking expensive thing, because if you do want to socialize, if you do want to step up to the goddamn table with me and Shawnee Murphy, it's $25 a fucking hand. And it's steep. Some people
don't
want to
fucking
gamble.
And you and Shawnee were the only two willing. You were the only two willing to
do
that.
I was so ready to do it.
I know you were.
I love it. I love it. But you know, it's not for everybody. That's the difference.
See, my idea was walk the boardwalk, which I did.
Yeah.
And actually, Shawnee Murphy, I don't know if he ended up a winner or a loser, but he ended up in the exact same place, but about I'd say 40 minutes later than I was, because
let me ask you this. Now, we all have our opinions of the Louis C.K. performance. What, just so we can get him on record, what were yours? What did you think of the show?
I liked it. Shawn was sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
And Shawn pretty much pointed out everything that was a rehash of an old joke. Or he also pointed out that he was slurring in the beginning. And Louis
he definitely was, dude.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
He was definitely drunk at the beginning, but he worked through it and he got sobered up, like I'd say halfway through.
Yeah.
Maybe three quarters of the way through. He sobered up. But I thought it was good. I thought the opening act was really good. What's his name?
Todd Barry.
Todd Barry was awesome.
Yeah, he was good. Really good.
And I mean, he hasn't changed his act in, what, like 15 years? It's always been the same shit?
I don't know. Todd Barry? Or who? Louis C.K.?
No, Todd Barry. He's always been like the kind of,
his tone, I'm sure he's had different material. But then again, to be fair, I've never seen him before. But, you know, before this.
Really?
And I enjoyed him. I mean, I've seen him do, you know, televised things. I've never gone to see him perform. As far as Louis goes, I consider myself a fan. I really enjoy the guy. I think he tries different things and is very successful in a lot of ways. He's innovated. He is a talented person, and he changes his act very regularly. He throws entire hours of material away, and I respect that.
Yeah, I like that too.
But I feel like... And it's a really shitty thing for somebody in my position to say. I feel like the show that we saw is not something that I would ever expect Louis to produce. It seemed very sloppy. It seemed like he was ill-prepared. It seemed like he didn't give a shit. And I was so fucking really excited to see it. And... Oh, by the way, on the way down, we drove. It's a good 3-hour drive for us. On the way down, we got halfway there, maybe more than halfway, about 2 hours down. Amanda stops and just goes, "You are gonna kill me." I say, "Why?" I never got the tickets. I forgot the tickets at home.
Uh oh.
And it's like that moment when a pot on the heat just boils. Like that, the 30 seconds where it's just bubbles that are still, and all of a sudden the pot just bubbles. I was a fraction of a second away from exploding. I'm like, well, we better fucking, let's turn around then. We gotta go turn around now. Sean just said, call Ticketmaster. And I said, okay. And I'm bracing myself for a miserable experience. And Ticketmaster owes me nothing. I owe them fucking nothing. It's just the company I dealt with, and I have to say, I've been on calls with customer service lately a fucking ton, and I've never had a great experience. And I called Ticketmaster, hat in fucking hand, told them the whole fucking thing. They took my number, they looked up my show, they said, your tickets will be there at will call when you arrive. Just show them your license, your credit card, and give them this order number.
It's nice.
And I'm like, are you kidding? Really? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, could you email me the order number? I tried to push my fucking luck. It's like, no, I can't do that. So they read it to me. I wrote it down. And they hung up. They're like, anything else? Nope. Thanks. Click. I was on hold for 10 minutes total. The whole call was
not bad.
A minute and a half to to get everything fucking resolved.
Not bad.
Amanda had already started driving north immediately after she said, "You're going to hate me." She did a fucking U-turn. Started going north. We just stopped. Got it taken care of.
She
and continued
drove?
Driving. Yeah, Amanda drove. Yeah. She likes
All
driving.
Right. All right.
Comment? Yeah, you know what? I kind of freak her out when I drive a little bit. I don't know. I get into a zone. I drive where I'm comfortable. And whether
Which is a little angry?
a little angry. I make stupid mistakes. I stop short sometimes, you know. Yell at cars through behind the safety of my windshield. So, you know, for a long drive, she likes to do it. And, you know, if she's going to do it, fuck it. I'll have a phone to look at.
Yeah.
And,
no, I can't
we'll
disagree.
Talk
I can't
and
disagree.
Do all that. So, yeah, disaster averted, but, I mean, all for naught, pretty much. I was really disappointed with that show. It just seemed like he came, yeah, I'll drink a few fucking drinks before the show, go out there and give him what I got, and then
that's
fucking it. Fuck it. And
It's between shows.
Oh, that's true. This was the last show. So, to be fair, maybe the show before us was good. Yeah.
Or maybe
Wait,
it was
actually,
bad,
no, he did fucking he did three shows that day, didn't he?
No, it was a 7 o'clock show and a 10:30 show.
Or was that it? Okay, so fuck it. There were two shows, and we got the last one. And it was the shitty one, I guess, okay? But still, you know, 70-something bucks a ticket. You know, you expect a little more. I don't not more, but you expect a little better.
How much did you pay?
70-something, I think. After taxes and all that shit.
It was a $55 ticket.
Yeah, you have handling and fucking processing, Steve. It's not just you never pay what it says.
72 total. I just looked it up.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, all right. And you know what? Everything after that, Louis C.K. Got rid of Ticketmaster.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were all $35 shows.
And you know what? And not only that, Ticketmaster service was so fucking good. And it helped me out.
Can say that. You can say it was so fucking good. But I opted,
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I didn't get the ticket sent to me. Okay. I opted to print out my own ticket that they could scan while walking in the door.
I mean, that's smart. I don't know. I'll always forget. So I always just get them sent to me. But if somebody like you is more prepared, they can do it and be diligent, print it out right away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right away. So, at midnight, the night before, after just getting ink from my printer at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, I'll get the ink.
Oh.
So I waited 4 hours.
You made a night of it. You went out and bought ink to do
like
this.
8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I went and spent $85 on ink.
Christ! $85 yeah. fucking dollars?
Dude, Frank just said he paid $125 for toner, $150.
No, he said he paid that a month. Like, I don't know. Christ.
Yeah, so anyway, I
always forget how expensive printer ink is. It's fucking, it's appalling.
It's insane, but...
Jesus
so
Christ.
So, at 8 o'clock, I had the ink. At probably 11:30, the ink was in my printer, and I'm like, all right, I'll go print this out. So I log in to Ticketmaster, get all my stuff in order. I log in, see the order there. It says, click here to print your tickets. I'm like, all right, click. Order cannot be processed at this time. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, shit. Midnight the night before, too.
Yeah, so yeah, that was at 11:30. So at 12, I'm like, all right, whatever. Try it again. Give it a half an hour. Order cannot be processed. 12:30, same. 1:30, same. 2:30, same. 3 o'clock, still up. I'm like, dude, I gotta fucking print these goddamn tickets. 3 o'clock, same.
Jesus like, Christ.
Still up. 3:10. Oh, here it goes. Now everything's working.
So wait a minute. Hold on. The scene is... Like, you're giving us the timeline, but here's the real scene. You're in your fucking your bedclothes, pretty much, with beers around you at 12 o'clock, saying, shit, if I can fucking print out the tickets. Let me go print the tickets out. And the end result is at 3:10, the tickets print. Between 12 and 3, are you just sitting there in your filth, just clicking print, refresh, back, print, refresh, back?
No, I was giving it
constantly, like the end of The Social Network, where he's just hitting refresh until his girlfriend has added him
as a friend. No,
yeah,
Ticketmaster did not add me as a friend. Ticketmaster was like, "Fuck you, you're gonna wait until we fix our shit."
Christ,
I even called. Like they're like, all right, here's the number. I got Chrome, and it like automatically Skype calls. I'm like, I call in.
You called tech support on Skype?
Yeah, I called tech support through Skype, and it starts going through the menus and stuff. And I'm like, all right, problem with the ticket. Okay, there we go. Hit one. And they're like, our hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. I'm like, oh, no, you are
God
not.
God damn this. You for not having a tech support staff on at 3:10 a.m.
Dude, I used to do on-call for a fucking web conferencing WebEx goddamn bullshit. And I would take calls at 4:30 a.m. from Malaysia. yeah, Ticketmaster can't do this.
Well, if the Sultan of Brunei is going to miss fucking Louis because his Canon bubble jet printer is out of ink and it can't connect to the site, they might work something out for him. Unfortunately, you are shit out of luck.
Yeah.
But you waited it out and the site started working.
Yeah, I was surprised.
So you lucked out. So big fucking deal, Steve. I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you were able to go. I had a good time, even though the show was lackluster. Afterwards,
I don't think it was. I thought it was good. I really did think it was good. Even
I saw him do so well that this was lackluster to me. I mean, I guess that's a problem of seeing somebody, you know, beat all expectations, and then seeing them again, and then, you know, not meet your impossibly high expectations. Like you watch them, they do great. The next time you're like, holy shit, I know I was expecting that, but I saw him, so it's got to be that every time. And it just wasn't. That's the second time that I've been kind of like, whatever. I mean, Amanda fucking fell asleep during the goddamn comedy show.
Yeah, I saw asleep. You and Amanda leaning forward with your hands, your head in your hands.
Like, oh, fuck.
And I'm like, oh, is she falling asleep?
Oh, children are terrible. Okay, great. Oh,
kill the cancer babies.
Oh, right. I'm fat and I don't care. Oh, great. See, what I liked about Louis is that the odds were stacked against him, and he still tried to not have them stacked against him. And that was where his humor came from. Like, being broke, but, you know, not wanting to be broke. Being fat, but not being happy about being fat. Now it's just like, I'm fucking fat. It doesn't fucking matter. Fuck it. It doesn't matter. Like, who gives a shit? It's just like...
It was a very who gives a shit.
It's a who gives comedy, a shit. Who gives rant. A shit? I give up. Fuck it. That was... Just reduce it down to those fucking words. Who gives a shit?
You're absolutely right.
I give up. This is it. Fuck it. Yeah. So.
He tried to make himself sound old. What is he, 40 what? 44?
44, I think. I don't know.
And I'm like, dude, you're not goddamn old.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, there's nobody in here that's really that young that's going to find that funny.
Either way, did you notice that you couldn't look in any one like set of a group of four seats and not see a fucking whore? Like, I could. The amount of absolute fucking whores. Now, whether or not they get paid to take dicks and crevices and holes and just to have them set on
various
portions of their skin, whether or not they do
it,
whether or not they do, they look like they do. Like, if you put them in a whore lineup, it would just be a fucking stalemate.
Yeah. No, like, those girls are there. They're just finding the guys. They're, like, walking through and seeing, all right, here's the $50 table. This guy's betting a lot.
There was a bitch in a fucking figure skater outfit.
the sequined fucking
yeah, she had a fucking figure skater outfit. She was wearing like a club dress,
and it was definitely, she had fake tits. I would almost say she has ass injections.
ass injections.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, just absolute fucking terrible. And I don't know.
I didn't mind.
I like looking yeah, and just wondering. No. Not even that. Like, I like looking and wondering how the transaction happens. Like the Indian guy who removes moles from old lady backs Monday through Friday decides he's gonna hit AC and he's gonna negotiate an evening with somebody who looks like Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
While she's performing.
No, she was much hotter than Nancy Kerrigan.
She just had the outfit. It was like, it wasn't even like a new one. It was like a fucking Lillehammer Winter Olympics from 92 fucking outfit. It was pretty bad. But so, you know, we gambled, we got together and, you know, and then it was over and that was it. And you went.
It wasn't for me though. It wasn't for me. I continued
you,
on.
You basically
I
said,
"Soldier."
We were at the Taj, and you're staying at the Borgata. You're like, "Dude, I'm not paying for a fucking cab to go back to Tropicana and go back to fucking Borgata. I'm out, bro. I'm out. I'm just gonna go." But you decided to embark upon an adventure.
Yeah, I did have an adventure, and it was fucking good. Like,
what did you
I had
do?
A good time.
What did you do?
So. I guess the show ended at, what, like 12:30, 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Well, no, it ended at like 12:30.
Sure.
We all putzed around till, I'd say, 1:15 or so. And you and Shawnee Murphy reserved yourself to the $25 blackjack table. I watched you play one hand where the dealer dealt herself a blackjack. And then it was like a queen, jack, ace, ace, ace. And then it was like a 2, 3, 2, 4, 1, 2, and I'm like, oh my god, this girl just fucking killed everybody at this table.
And then I started playing two hands. You know, somebody left. Yeah, I wanted to try and, you know, mix up the shoe a little bit. You know, play two hands, play one hand for a few times. Just try and mix it up.
Clayton was there. He was watching. We actually did play. We played some penny slots, I'd say, what, for like a half hour?
Yeah.
And I did pretty well. We all played
you
the same.
You lost all your money down to the point where you had a dollar.
No, I had 50 cents. I had a dollar 10 left. I had one. I played $5. I played $5. I had a dollar 10 left, and I'm like, I'm betting the max. And you know what? Props to Amanda, because Amanda's like, just keep fucking going until it's gone.
That's right. And, yeah. Wow, what a message. Thanks, Amanda. Just put it in and play till it's gone.
No. She's like, what the hell are you going to do? She's
exactly.
You have like $1.10 left. Just play it.
Yeah.
And I played, and I won $25.
You're so goddamn like, right. You owe Amanda $15.
No, I don't. I don't owe her anything.
You do.
It was just a suggestion. All right, $1.
I mean, if your degenerate grandmother gave you a car, the very least, you owe Amanda a Starbucks coffee. Venti Starbucks coffee.
I'll get Amanda a Venti Starbucks coffee next time I see her.
She likes lattes, and she likes it when you order it with my Starbucks card, so I get the points.
All right, that's fine.
But
Venti,
we're
all playing the same game.
Latte.
We're all playing the same game, and I'm like, "What is this, Bejeweled?" She's like, "Yeah, kind of." So
nothing like Bejeweled. It's
no, absolutely not.
It's another one of the hit the button and zone out, and then if your money's gone. Move. That's what it is.
On my second to last spin, I won, I think, $25 on my $5 initial investment.
Yeah.
And I'm
investment.
Like, right.
Shut up. You know what? I wonder how much of that is just childhood exposure to gambling that you dare call fucking a penny slot an investment.
Whatever. I played $5. I won $25. And I cashed out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. And then you guys went to play poker or blackjack.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to hit the boardwalk. I'm like, Clayton, you want to hit the boardwalk? Clayton seemed to want to stay with you guys. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
You know what? If you said to me, I want to go to the boardwalk, I probably would have said, I'll go to the boardwalk too. You didn't. You didn't. Fuck you. You didn't. You said, you know what? I'm peacing, bro. I'm peacing out, bro. I don't want to pay for another guy. I'm gonna go. You just said you're gonna leave, and nobody knew you were going to the board. Maybe Clayton did because you said you mentioned it to him, but Sean didn't know because you ran into Sean.
Yeah, on my way back. All right. Here's the story. Initially, when we were all trying to figure out before we started gambling. Before I won that whatever $25, I said, why don't we all walk the boardwalk? You know, no one's going to be gambling. We can all talk or whatever and walk the boardwalk, like, end-to-end. So that didn't happen. And just like, you know what? Personally, I just want to walk the boardwalk because I used to do that as a kid when I was little because all my fucking aunts and uncles and grandmother played. And I couldn't play anything, and I just had to walk the boardwalk as a child.
Steve, Atlantic City. Steve, you're four. Go walk the boardwalk. But it's but it's nighttime and I have money in my pockets. I don't care. There's a slot tournament going on.
Yeah, exactly. So you and Shawnee were playing, and Clayton was there. He's like, I'm gonna watch. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm out. So I figured, whatever. I'm gonna go walk the boardwalk. I walked down to the fucking end. Like everything is open. I was really surprised because like a lot of shit was still open at. I guess it was at like 2 at that point, 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
And I walked all the way down the convention center. Like, if you don't know the Atlantic City Boardwalk, like, the north end is the Revel and the Taj Mahal. At the southern end, it's the Tropicana, where we were for the sports bar. And then right next to the Tropicana is Bally's.
And okay. We don't need a fucking Google Maps
anyway,
goddamn boardwalk.
I walked all the way down to Bally's, and I got to the convention center, and they had that thing where, like, they project, like, a light show on the facade of a building.
Yeah.
And it's, like the bricks are falling out, and, like, the whole thing falls down, they do all this shit.
Yeah, they do, like, a show at different times of the day.
Yeah, so that show runs from 9:30 p.m. to, like, 2 a.m., and the last one is at 2 a.m., so that's when I got there, and it said, like, 44 seconds until the next show. So I'm like, whatever, I'll fucking sit down. I got a coffee from Dunkin' Donuts on the boardwalk, sat down. Really awesome. I thought it was fucking cool as hell, because I've never seen one of those live. Like, I've always seen them on YouTube, never saw one live.
Nice.
And it was really cool. You know, I sat there, I got right in the middle seat, like, watched the whole thing. I'm like, cool. Walking back, I get, like 100 feet up the boardwalk, going back to the Taj, because that was the shortest distance between the Taj and the marina where the Borgata is, which is the cheapest cab fare. So I was going to walk down and back all the way. And once I hit at Bally's, there was somebody outside, like a, I don't know what it was, like a rainforest cafe or something like that. Some DJ, and he's like playing shit in the streets. And everybody on the boardwalk started dancing. Ugh. At 2 a.m., everybody was, like, drunk as fuck. Like, there was drunk-ass people everywhere. But you're like, oh, we're going to dance, we're going to dance.
I don't ever want to be in a place where dancing is not expected and people are fucking dancing. I don't care that there's a DJ playing. You know what? I, if somebody's holding a slice of pizza and they're dancing, I don't want to fucking be there. I don't want to be near somebody holding a fucking jumbo slice, bopping to whatever the fuck they were playing. Like, what was the type of music they were playing?
It was the New Electric Slide. I don't know what that song is. It's like
the fucking
slide to the right.
I don't even know what that's called.
Bobby Brown.
Slide to the left. Slide to the right. Take it back now, y'all. That's what I'll search in fucking. Oh, this is the Cha Cha Slide by DJ Casper.
That's it.
So this is what they're dancing to, and this is just a great time for you.
It's like young clap, Latina. Clap your hands. Clap,
clap your hands. All right, now, we're going to do the basic step. Oh, this is the basic step.
Take it back now, y'all.
Oh, Christ.
One hop this time.
This is a bad workout
right
tape.
Left foot, let's stomp. Left foot, let's stomp. Cha-cha, real smooth.
Could you? You know what? I want. Turn it up. I desperately want video from this left. Recording session.
Take it back now, y'all.
Some guy just holding his headphones and swaying.
Right foot, let's start.
Just barking left out foot, physical commands.
Cha cha now, y'all. Now it's time to get.
Hold on. Cut. Okay, that last cha cha. Can we get that again, please? Can we get that again?
No, you didn't
again?
Go back enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We got a little bit of a hiss in the microphone. Can we go back to that? Let's start. Left foot, let's start. No, the cha-cha. Cha-cha now, okay, y'all. Good, thanks. Now it's time perfect. To
get funky. To the right. Get funky. To
the left. It's absolutely hideous. So they were playing this, and people were compelled to dance?
At least 50 people.
Anybody who dances to that, outside of like a goofy thing at a wedding, is on substances. They are on something.
Alcohol. That's what I just said.
No, they're on some kind of fucking blend of meth, alcohol, fucking Dayquil, Bisquick, like just everything they could find stirred together and put into a fucking Ron Popeil mixer of sorts.
You know what? I was like 91 ounces of beer in at this point, and it wasn't entertaining to me. I'm like walking to walk it off.
Yeah, you did post that on your Facebook. You built it as like some really good time too. You're like, yeah, just chilling.
It was good. It was good.
But my favorite thing was Sean's comment, which about you. You said this is what you wrote on your Facebook wall. AC Labor Day get together was awesome. Saw Louis C.K. walked the length of the boardwalk at 2 a.m. Saw a light show. 60 people randomly busted out dancing in the middle of the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Sean writes, I finished walking the boardwalk after I ran into you, and it was unpleasant. Like, you have this glowing review of your evening, and he just sums
Sean,
it up as
Sean
unpleasant.
Missed everything. Sean missed absolutely everything.
Do you know Sean enough to include yes. dancing and have him say that would make it anything other than more unpleasant?
Well, Sean hates everybody and everything, so I know him so well that I know that he doesn't like that.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to see fucking just people drunk dancing to cha-cha.
It's funny as hell. Watching drunk people dance is great, I think.
Slide to the left, bam! Slide to the right, bam! Crisscross, bam, bam! Did you do it, Steve?
No, I didn't dance at all. I was taking video.
Our buddy Goatweed, who was notably absent and missed, along with Spickle, who was missed, had no excuse for not showing up, by the way. His last time he said he wouldn't go to a Heroes Talk event, it was too far. Guess what? Atlantic City, Philly, pretty close. Clayton flew from Texas and took a goddamn train from Philly.
Yo, big fucking ups to Clayton, by the way.
Nothing. No one better than Clayton right now.
Clayton definitely, no one better. Like, gets the gold for distance traveled, time traveled.
I'll tell you this. You know, as much as I don't respond to texts and email, he asked if it would be at all possible if I could take him to the McDonald family wiffle ball tournament in Lincroft, New Jersey, which he was invited to. Dave, Eastside Dave and Casey, they had a wiffle ball game. He wanted to attend because he's on the East Coast. He made it happen. He asked me, got him in Amanda's car, drove him the longest way possible to avoid tolls and what I thought
I can't
would be,
believe you guys took 287 to even get down there.
We took the no tolls way because we thought it would be less traffic. More movement, less traffic. And also, you know what, Steve? We got to show him a little taste of New Jersey, something called Wawa. He had not only has he doesn't have a convenience store by him, he doesn't know what Wawa is. He's heard of it, but now he truly does.
Yeah, but even us, like, we don't really have a Wawa.
It's a quick check, okay? It's the same fucking thing, you people in Philly, with your allegiance to Wawa. It's the same fucking thing. Sandwiches, drinks, and fucking shitty pretzels. Same thing. There's nothing magical there. Nothing magical. The guy with no teeth with a fucking apron doesn't make it a fucking fantastical experience just because he says, have a good day now. Fuck him. The color of the fucking apron is different. That's it. Same touchscreen fucking sandwich. Same fucking rotating hot dog wheel. Same fucking coolers full of fucking drinks. So Philly and your fucking Wawa, shove it up your ass. Quick Check is the same shit. Sorry.
I think Wawa has superior coffee to Quick Check, personally.
Disagree.
Really? You think Quick Check has better coffee than Wawa?
For one reason. Quick Check has a Facebook fan page, and they give out free coffee probably 3 weeks out of every 2 months.
That's true.
So I don't give a shit if it's bum piss. If it's brown and fucking hot and smells vaguely like a coffee bean has been in it and it's free and it's got caffeine, I'll drink that shit. Fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Free coffee from Quick Check beats fucking expensive coffee that may be the same quality or better at Wawa. And also, fuck Wawa. But we had to take him there to at least experience it. Because Amanda holds some kind of candle. She holds a torch for Wawa. She loves it. I don't know.
Yeah, my brother does the same thing. He loves Wawa for some reason. I don't know why.
She's like, she was so excited. She's helping Clayton order the sandwich. She said, "Have you ever had a soft taco?" He's like, "Or soft pretzel?" He's like, "Nope." She's like, "You got to get one." So we got one, and I bite into it, and I'm like, "Oh, this is a really shitty soft pretzel." Don't even bother. I think he ate it. He probably was very polite in saying that it was okay, but I don't know. Yeah, definitely different plans. We drove him up to the wiffle ball game, and we got out, and we weren't planning on playing, but Casey twisted our arm enough that we played one game, and I had a great fucking time. It was really fun. I haven't played wiffle ball in a very long time. Let me tell you something right now. First at bat for me, Steve.
Home run?
Not even just a home run. Should I use the term moonshot? Should I say that? Should I say ball is gone? Gone. Like, you try and find that fucking ball. Gone. It went 20 feet. But they had such a short home run range, it qualified as a home run. And I hit a single at the end of the game, and they called me out, but it was bullshit. I was on base. They called me out. So, you know, they need some better officiating at those games, but still very, very fun. And I did notice one thing, though. Amanda and Casey were the only girls, and so they split them up. Amanda was on our team. Casey was on Dave's team.
Yep.
And when we were coming up with the batting orders, the guys instantly decided that Amanda would be last in the batting order. Now, you may think, like, well, you know, in gym class, obviously that's what you do. That's what you do. You always put the girl last. When I tell you these were some of the most unathletic guys I've ever seen in my life, put Amanda last at wiffle ball, and the guy who demanded to be up first, fucking our leadoff, our go-to, fucking threw the bat into the parking lot and struck out once in fucking nice. Fat bat wiffle ball. Amanda hit every time. And if she one pitch, one swing, hit. It was either caught or fucking, you know, another fucking bad call where she beat it out. But, oh, no, it went to the pitcher first. Anyway, I think that you just take a look at yourself before you put the girl last. Oh, by the way, I have to say, Ed McGrath was on our team.
Yeah.
You remember Ed McGrath?
I heard he lost a lot of weight.
Big guy, no, fuck that. He lost 160 fucking pounds.
That's a lot of weight.
He's a different fucking person.
Half a man.
160 fucking pounds. I didn't even notice him. He came by and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" And I looked at, like, right in the center of his face is all I could recognize. I'm like, "Holy shit!" I don't think he got a lap band. I don't think he had any bypass. I don't know, but he said he's just eating better and exercising, and he
good
fucking
for him.
Did it. So
good
fuck
for him.
That. I think here's the thing. As we wrap up this show, Steve, I mean, do you have anything else you wanted to get to? Because I think we need to wrap this up. And the way I want to wrap this up,
all bases covered.
Literally, I want to plan. Hear us talk.
Wiffle ball.
Labor Day event next year.
Wiffle ball.
I want to have something of an Olympics. I want to have events that we decide on. We go to a park. Nothing more than a grass fucking open area.
Smithfield Park.
Wherever we choose. and we fucking compete. We field a team of Heroes Talk athletes and superstars. Compete in our Olympics.
The best and brightest.
Decide who will field a Heroes Talk wiffle ball team and challenge the all-stars of
we'll
the McDonald family wiffle ball outing.
I am down.
I
am
think
down
we gotta
for
do
that.
This. We got to get everybody fucking out. We got to come up. I don't care what the events are in the Olympics. Fucking let's who throws a paper plane the furthest. Fuck that. I don't care. Whatever. Whatever. Yeah. Fucking who can fucking run fast. I don't give a shit. We'll come up with a fucking event. Fucking volleyball. Fucking hacky sack. Anything. I don't care. Something we can fucking compete at.
Yes, hacky sack is definitely.
And we will come up. There. We will come up with a pool of athletes, seasoned and talented athletes, that we will put together as an all-star team of Heroes Talk Warriors.
We'll
and
do
we
it.
Will field a team of wiffle ballers that should never be reckoned with. And we will face Eastside Dave and his heroes.
Sounds
from the
good.
McDonald Family Wiffle Ball Tournament, and we will destroy them. You
Sounds
want a social
good.
Event? You want something social? You want to go there and not spend a lot of money?
We'll be talking shit.
Let's put your fucking athletic skills on the goddamn field. Let's see where it's at.
We'll be talking
Start
a lot
training.
Of shit. Now.
There will be shit talk happening. There will be fucking barriers broken down. Relationships and bridges will be burned.
Yep.
Hear us talk. A force to be reckoned with. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. I want to thank everybody who came out to the Heroes Talk Labor Day Bash. I had an incredible time. Thank you very much for making that part of your Labor Day weekend. Thank you for listening to the show. Thanks to Frank for being a part of it. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
Clayton, I can't thank you enough for flying up, buddy. And thank you for suggesting that you would do it again. Everybody, have a
Thanks.
Good goddamn week. Go to HeroesTalk.com. Download Geeks of Rage. Download Bug Zapper Radio. Download Best in Show. Thank you very much. And have a good week. Oh, one more thing. HeroesTalk.com/Amazon. Go there. Buy something. Use our link to Amazon to buy something. It helps us out a little bit. Also, Facebook.com/TheDJNewsStyleShow. If you haven't liked us already, please click like and post something on our page. It gives me something to read that that passes the time while I'm taking epic liquid shits, as I've been doing lately. Thank you very much, and have a good week.
Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.